15. Let's resume our meeting. If everybody would please take their seats, and then we can resume with our speakers. And Mr. Briggs, is it Mr. Johnson that is going to lead off? I think we gave them extra time.
Right. Okay. Johnson here. Front and center, huh?
Front and center.
You want us to give you a warning when you're getting within a couple minutes or something?
Yeah,
like
that'd be great.
Okay.
I don't think I'll take the full time, to be honest with you, but if I do, I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Sure that this will. Good afternoon, Chair and members of the board. My name is Aaron Johnson. I'm here representing as president of Monterey County Cattlemen's Association. We're here today as a group, and first I'd like to state that I really appreciate the fact that you've given us 15 minutes to present this report. That was a sign of respect, and we treated it accordingly. So thank you very much. The reason why we're here and the reason why we've asked for this time is because this TMDL in particular is coming at us and hitting us hard. It's hitting us fast, and it carries great weight and consequences. And as such, we want to discuss some of the measures that we are undertaking as cattlemen that I think address some of the concerns that are raised in the report and the to be honest with you, ultimately the implementation measures. I'll go through why we're here and what we're asking for. I'll give you a brief history of the dialogue between cattlemen and the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and I'll explain what our document is, the grazing document, and how it relates to this TMDL. So first, what we're asking for is that you provide us some time. First of all, I don't have the documents in front of me, but we've got a stack close to 4 inches high of documentation that we received or were able to download 9 days ago. And so while many cattlemen would prefer that we never revisit the issue, we are asking for a reasonable amount of time to address the concerns that we raised today and come back at a later date. There are a couple other issues with regard to the timing and the process. The original comment period was undertaken over the holiday period, and it was a very busy time for us. It was, you know, we had a good rainy season, which meant that most of the people in this room representing cattlemen were fairly busy at that time. We found the document and the need to respond, as far as time goes, inadequate. And so we prepared commentation. We prepared our comments. We submitted those. But, again, we found that to be inadequate in terms of what this document is asking for and going back to basically how you implement it. And one of what I think is something that's fatally inadequate in this document, which is the implementation part of it. One thing I thought was interesting was that the TMDL report was removed from the web as soon as the comment period lapsed. I don't know if this is common practice, but it's in my experience that when dealing with public documentation that's up for review, you keep it up on the website and you make it publicly accessible through that period until finally adopted. And then I just note that in the comments in Attachment 6, there is mention that the USA that the U.S. EPA is peer reviewing this document, and it goes further to basically back our position that we don't think this document's ready for acceptance. We'd like to see the final review from the U.S. EPA. We'd also like the opportunity to discuss a more thorough implementation plan. And most significantly, my last point there is that before we work with staff, we are working as six counties together. Monterey County Cattlemen's Association and five other counties are working together to come up with what is called the Central Coast Cattlemen. And what we've prepared is the Central Coast Cattlemen's Grazing Lands Non-Point Source Approach, what we also affectionately refer to as the grazing document or the grazing plan. Again, it's six county cattlemen's associations. It's important to understand where we are in this process. We have provided a draft of this to staff a while ago. Because we're working with six different associations, that in and of itself is unique and was something that has never been undertaken before. We consider this a very serious issue, water quality and the environmental concerns that are associated with that with regard to food safety, with regard to environmental impacts, are extremely important. So we had this draft out. We were told that this draft needed to be peer reviewed, so we have done that. We've sent it out for peer review, and as this is going on, we are conducting our own meetings. We've got the peer review back, and several weeks ago we met as a group of the six counties again to review the peer review of our draft document, and so. Before we move forward and submit it as our official document or endorse it as any kind of acceptable framework, we need to have buy-in and acceptance amongst the six counties that are involved in this. That is a very delicate task. It takes meetings. It takes thorough discussion. And in essence, that process isn't finished, although it's running concurrently, and we'd like to, after we have that concurrence, be able to work with staff, not before. And that is the reason why when I had originally asked for, we had discussed meeting with staff several weeks ago, that was put to a halt because the peer review had come out and we needed to discuss that as a group. So, again, this document was pursuant to a discussion that we had with your board, with your staff. In looking at it, from my personal opinion, it's not a scientific document in and of itself. Yet we have subjected it to peer review from people who have scientific backgrounds. What it is designed to do is provide a flexible framework to fit individual operations. We are in, and I think you'll see it on one. We are focused on. I want to get to a point that I make further down the way. Basically, as a flexible framework to fit individual operations, what we're focused on is the program itself and outcomes, what's happening on the ground. This isn't a metrics-based approach to meeting a TMDL standard. And so I think where a lot of the conflict right now occurs is that staff is focused on metrics and scientific data that is being collected at certain points at a snapshot in time, whereas we're focused on the process and the operations and what is good management and what will affect and impact positively good water quality. So our primary goals, as we sat down with the other counties, was what the goals were: to maintain and enhance the quality of water resources. I think on a lot of these issues, as noted in staff's report, we correspond fairly closely in our desire, and that is to have clean water. And it's a matter of how you get there and how you implement it that I think is the issue. But as far as our goals go, I don't think we differ. We're stressing prevention of certain practices, et cetera. But we need to keep in mind reducing costly fixes and monitoring. And of course, in the ranching atmosphere, that that last point, the costly fixes and monitoring, is a very sensitive subject, and this is one that takes a lot of time. How you implement this is extremely critical and does need to be vetted with concurrence with the six counties that I referenced before. We stress voluntary participation through education, technical assistance, incentives, and we emphasize the benefits of such an approach. We have advocated the rangeland short course, in which many rangeland owners have taken place, not only owners but operators, and that is fairly self-explanatory. Again, we seek to reduce agencies' fees and permitting, with a focus on encouraging implementation of management measures. As you'll see in this document, we do consider how we monitor ourselves as far as taking things such as the short course, making sure that we have adequate education within our community, and that the net gain is that we have improved water quality and environmental concerns. Again, we want to balance the need for site-specific flexibility and the economic feasibility for rangeland managers. While one particular set of measures may work on one ranch, it may not work on another. And so, this goes to the implementation. At the same time, it's important that the region takes a look at how this is conducted. And if you look back at the slide that was shown before we took a break for lunch, you see three alternatives there. And the first, which ironically is the first one, is just an outright prohibition of cattle on rangeland, or an acceptance of that fact. The second seems to point to some of these things, but it is an inadequately vetted and documented implementation plan. Again, with our primary goals, we want to identify gaps in information that may prove critical for taking a science-based and economical approach to protecting water resources, particularly with respect to pathogenic loading. We do take this very seriously, and I'm not sure that the acceptance of a TMDL is going to immediately have a positive impact on pathogen loading as much as what the industry has done on its own to regulate itself and educate itself on this issue. Once, I believe it was September 14th, 2006, hit the spinach outbreak, everybody in this county, everybody in the counties adjacent to us, was intimately involved with what was happening there. There was an immediate education, and they take this issue very seriously. Although the report doesn't directly state that this is a TMDL on E. coli itself, obviously that's a major issue. It's a major issue of concern that cattlemen have, and they take it very seriously. And
about a minute and a half to go.
Thank you. So the focus is on protection, enhancement of water quality again, improve and sustain riparian habitat. We want to sustain healthy plant communities, develop alternative water sources and attractions. We do recommend things like in this report that we're discussing, moving water supply and salt and mineral nutrients away from water sources, taking those measures that practically make a change in the what was the historic load in most cases a dry creek bed, especially in this watershed. So the tactics, again, we have undertaken education and outreach, water quality plans, research, economic viability of grazing. We need to consider that as we go through this, taking a balanced approach. And once again, just so I can hit on a couple of the major issues, as this TMDL is drafted, I believe, honestly, that it is legally inadequate. The implementation plan, what we have heard from, I believe, is council as the legal basis or the legal implementation is just to make something illegal, that in and of itself does not address or legally satisfy the implementation plan requirements. And so what I'm saying is that we need to develop the plan further. I would urge you not to adopt the TMDL today. I'd urge you to have patience, let us work with our counties and come up and further develop this grazing lands document. I think you'll provide it useful. I think it'll be beneficial to all of the counties of concern and all of the watersheds that are in your jurisdiction. So with that, I thank you very much for your time.
I've got a couple questions for you. If you could go back to your slide that says primary goals. You have that voluntary participation there. There, you just passed it. I don't know if you're aware, but we can't have voluntary participation. See, the legislature did away with that a number of years ago. That was the old way that this type of a discharge, if you want to just broadly categorize it, you know, the non-point source, was being regulated. It was through voluntary means. The legislature told us, no, can't be voluntary. It's got to be mandatory. So, you know, the effort your group is doing is laudable. I think it's a very important, critical piece to achieving what we need to have done. But it's got to be, everyone has to participate in this plan. All right, that's the first comment that I wanted to make. The other one is, I see that your grazing document is going to be an important puzzle or piece to this puzzle, because I, at least personally, I see it, and staff can correct me or, you know, fill in here, but I see it as an important document that a landowner can use to substantiate or justify which specific management practices they want to use on their farm. I mean, that's the way I kind of read this, that look, they can say, we want to do X, Y, Z, and it's been vetted through the grazing document and peer-reviewed, and we want to give it a shot doing it this way. I think that's very important. But the grazing document in and of itself isn't a substitute for the TMDL. I don't know if you're suggesting that it should be.
No, I'm not. In fact, I understand under the Clean Water Act what your obligations are.
Right.
And as such, as part of the implementation of the TMDL that you must now create, that implementation plan, we believe, should include something that is agreed upon by the Central Coast Cattlemen's Association. And I don't think we're far apart on what those implementation measures are, but there are certain issues that are very, very important to cattlemen that are that will be contained in that final document that we want to make sure that everybody is on the same page.
Well, part of this then is that we can't specify what the management practices should be. An agency. Water code says people need whatever means they can to achieve compliance with the end result. We put out there what the end result is, and it's achievement of the water quality objective, the 200 or the 230 number for fecal coliform bacteria. That's the target. But we can't tie people's hands down a set of management practices beforehand. They've got to be given flexibility to choose whatever they want to.
And that's what this...
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify something else. That the way that the TMDL is proposed is that within 3 years of its final approval, which has to be by another agency, the Office of Administrative Law, the executive officer is supposed to request that responsible parties submit the plan. So it could be as long as 4 years from now before you're even required to even show you any kind of compliance. And once the executive officer says, you know, say 3 years from now, says, okay, please submit a plan, then you have 6 months to submit the plan. And the plan can be exactly what you're talking about, which is to work with the six counties, work with other cattlemen, and come up with a plan as a group. So I just want you to understand that it's not that plan is totally within your discretion about how to do it, and the things that you're talking about in your comments today are exactly the kind of thing that the TMDL would have you do, but it's totally within your discretion how to come, you know, one person could do their own, or you could have a whole group coming up with a plan together. But it would be at a minimum, absolute minimum, a year and a half from now before you would even be requested to do such a plan. And then compliance of the plan isn't for 13 years after that. So I just want you to make sure you understand that.
And I appreciate that. What I'm getting from a recent spring meeting that we had, an annual meeting of Monterey County cattlemen, is that there hasn't been enough education or outreach from this board on this topic. And the problem is, I honestly believe there should be a delay in adopting this TMDL to make sure that we educate our constituents, if you will, and your staff works a little closer with us as well. What we've asked for is some time. We've asked for some time to meet with the counties, finish this document. It's not the end-all, be-all, but it provides us with educational resources to go out to our communities with so that they understand what's happening. Right now, my feeling is they don't understand. And that's not a good thing, because they automatically believe, and by some of the recommendations that were discussed this morning, rightfully so, that the government's coming out here to implement drastic measures and shut down operations. So there are some serious issues here. I don't think today's the day to adopt the TMDL.
If they need to have that explained to them, then I don't know that adopting the TMDL today or in 2 months would make much difference as far as explaining that.
Other than it comes across as brazen, and it's no matter how we couch it, the fact that it was adopted, I mean that's a significant event.
Okay, but it's from your remarks, you're saying your main concern is the implementation, not the numeric adding to the basin plan and applying the numerics of the 200 and the 400, right?
I think others are concerned about that. I don't have time to get into the science.
No, I was asking you if that's correct, because you were talking about the main flaw being the implementation plan. And I think what the council is trying to point out is that, and Pete said in his presentation, that we see a plan like this as being compatible, not just compatible, but as our chair said, a piece of the puzzle in terms of then implementing and getting to where you can meet the numerics that are where really there's very little, if any, flexibility. It's an existing number in the basin plan. And there's time allowed for your plan to be further developed. The board's already adopted the same TMDL to the north. It sounds like with your six counties, you're talking about your plan probably applying to that TMDL that's already adopted.
And I'll just go back to what I opened with, and that was that it's coming in the eyes of Monterey County cattlemen and the other counties that we're working with, it's coming fast, furious, and it carries heavy weight. So I think that we need to, and this isn't delay for delay's purpose. This is delay for education, for better understanding in our community of what this means and how we will address it.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, before he leaves,
sure.
Just to clarify, you've asked for additional time.
Mr. Johnson?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you want to address the speaker?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
You asked for additional time. What time are you looking for?
Honestly, in my mind, I was thinking 90 days.
And my second question is, you talk about six counties of cattlemen's associations. Is that mm-hmm. what you're referring to?
Right.
And this TMDL, are you talking about all TMDLs? Because we're talking about a specific area. And my question would be is, why are six county cattlemen's association would be involved with one specific area?
This one's on the radar screen.
This is the one that's up right now?
Yes, it is the reason why it's up. In the other areas, I believe that you've covered with TMDLs, there has been less grazing activity. This one has, as you see in the report, affects more land than any other TMDL that you've covered. And now you've got the true operators who are very, very concerned about it.
Well, it does cover a vast amount of land from ridge to ridge, from the whole Salinas Valley, basically, from
right.
Gonzales north. It covers a lot of territory, a lot of grazing land, there's no question about it, as well as row crops. So, and I know you approached the issue of a short time to respond. According to staff in their presentation, this has been going on since 2006. Is that correct? Is that the way I interpret it?
The TMDL development did start in 2006, correct?
Monterey County cattlemen have been invited to, I believe, two, maybe three meetings. One a year isn't enough.
Okay.
Thank you. Questions?
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Johnson? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Scott? Okay. Thank you. Because your eye is run on into the... Yeah, okay. And then Darlene Dinn, followed by Kay Mercer.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Scott Violini, Monterey County cattleman, fourth generation livestock producer in Monterey County. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today on this TMDL. I understand it's a responsibility of the responsible parties to have to implement their own measures to adhere to the measurements. I am still concerned that staff did not address the economic outcomes and financial hardships that may be incurred by individual family-owned livestock operations if this TMDL is adopted. The draft plan dated March 2008 contained Table 12.3, had 1993 costs. I see in my comments they updated it with something from Iowa. This was a very short list of examples of cost of grazing practices and possible financing to implement compliance measures that were never mentioned. I know you can't mandate or designate specific types of on-site actions to reduce indicator bacteria, but due to the economic downturn with technical assistance that we might be able to get from resource conservation districts, NRCS, and our own financial downfalls in the livestock industry, implementation of some management measures, and I'm primarily hit on fencing, I'm sorry, but that's kind of it. You get total exclusion of livestock from fencing, and that's, to us, they'll say, well, okay, we don't have the cattle in there, we don't have a problem. The only other alternative that I could possibly see is, total dispersal sale. In today's economy, fences are a major capital outlay. We're going to lose income if you take a certain setback per mile, if that's what's required to fence the whole stream out. That could be in upwards of 120 acres per mile in lost grazing area, which could equate to a loss of $3,600 roughly in revenue every year. There's no mention of costs or charges associated with technical assistance or professional services that may be needed to implement the monitoring plans. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to pay for it. Family livestock producers are very aware of their bottom line. Increased costs and loss of income from non-essential projects is damaging to the economic well-being of the producer. We've always provided and really tried hard to provide for a healthy, productive environment. Without that, we're pretty much out of business. We provide habitat for the uncontrollable sources, the homeless, if you want to look at it that way. Please reconsider the adoption of the TMDL. You guys probably saw that one coming. The economic and environmental implications, I personally feel, could prove worse than assumed in trying to implement measures of compliance. Kind of far-reaching here, but I ask you to ask yourself the question, do we want large, open, healthy, productive, economical, viable, safe, water quality type landscapes through our grazing programs, or small, scattered, unmanageable, non-productive dot-com-owned ranchettes through the area within the zoning regulations that are required via the county? The reason I mention that is there's not a whole hell of a lot of money in this cow deal anyway, and a lot of the options that some people will take is just outright sale. The average age of a livestock producer in the United States is 60 years old. I think there's probably four of us in this county that are under 50, and I'm one of them. That's pretty sad when you consider that all the, we go through. I appreciate your time. Thank you, staff, for trying to send out as much paperwork as possible for me to read. As my wife commented the other night, she says, "So, how's your girlfriend doing?" I kind of looked at her and I said, "What are you talking about?" She says, "You know, all that stack of paperwork you come home with every night." So, but I appreciate it. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Yes. Probably to Francis on.
Okay.
Are we required to implement a TMDL, are we required to consider cost to the individuals? Is that a consideration at all?
Yeah, you're required to adopt a substitute environmental document under CEQA, and you're supposed to evaluate the reasonably foreseeable methods of compliance. So the staff put in some possible methods of compliance with this particular item, and then the reasonably foreseeable costs of those methods of compliance. So it's a little bit of a, you don't have to speculate, but come up with what's reasonable. And it's not a cost-benefit analysis, just these are what we think are the reasonably foreseeable methods of compliance and then the costs associated with that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Darlene Din, followed by Kay Mercer. And this last name looks like Morris, but I'm not quite sure.
Good afternoon, Board again, and I'm going to talk really fast. 3 minutes goes quick. In my role as an agricultural land use consultant as it relates to the clients, in a lot of cases I don't write public comments. My role is to try to get them to meetings, work with staff, get documents there, and assist them in providing comments. So it's a mischaracterization that it was a late comment item that I made. What I made in a comment was that there were numerous comments made during the period of time which staff workshops went from August the 29th to the scoping meetings. The staff report was from December and allowed us from December to January to comment. Then the staff had till March 4th. Then we had till March 10th to look at the additional 150 pages. And when staff said there was no substantive changes, how can you take a document from 150 pages to 300 pages, have no substantive changes, and then thus say that vis-a-vis we had sufficient time to review the comments? That in of itself is, it doesn't give us time to meet, review, and look at. The second piece that I wanted to say to that is that the peer reviewer, which in it is also an author, that concerns me. And the second is I disagree with staff on sufficient findings. There are four PhDs right now who are addressing pathogens, and their peer review documents are not incorporated, and they are from Dr. Ken Tate, Dr. Rob Atwell, Dr. Trevor Seslow, Dr. Rob Mandrell, and why that isn't incorporated into this document is a challenge. The next issue to that is when you look at those references, we disagree that the peer review should have taken a year by one reviewer who already was an author of the document and not use four scientists who actually have on the watersheds dealing with pathogens as it relates to cattle. The last point that I want to make is I respectfully disagree with staff on the CEQA document and that it is sufficient. I disagree because Port of Cologne puts an economic component in there. And my last point is I ask you to postpone this, allow some opportunity. I appreciate that staff has worked with us, that they've had numerous conversations, but this is far-reaching, and the land that is managed under cattle has a per acre very small production cost. It's very different than other land. They're land rich and cash poor, and those producers really provide a tremendous value to the Central Coast, and I think they're significantly different. They don't apply any kind of inputs. They don't irrigate. They are land managers who hold for the public benefit, tremendous wildlife corridors and other assets. And thank you, and I made it under three. So thank you for your time and comments. I will be responding in writing to additional comments, and thank you, staff, for I just respectfully disagree.
And Mrs. Din, what about how much time are you looking for?
Okay. Thank you. I was trying to go fast. I would concur with the cattleman that 90 days would give at least sufficient time to read the document, to compare what we wrote to what is in there, to put together a meeting of the six county cattlemen and why that is pertinent, is they've all been authors of the grazing document. I think it's inappropriate for one county or one client to present a document that has been vetted through others, and to be able to bring that to the staff so that they have a fair representation. And I respectfully disagree again with staff, and we'd like to comment on why we believe Port of Cologne does have an economic component. So I hope that you feel that that's sufficient, and I would respectfully ask that of you. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Sure.
Mr. Jeffries.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the staff. There's been a couple in her public testimony about the issue of 150 pages to approximately 300 pages. Is that a fact? And if it is a fact, was there a workshop that went over the additional pages, or was that just – explain to me, number one, was there 150 pages or 300 pages?
We are not able to ascertain the source of this one extra 150-page assertion. The project report that was web-posted on December 7th, 2009, for public comment was 178 pages. The project report that was web-posted March 4th as part of the agenda item was marginally expanded by 22 pages to address public comments that had been submitted to us. There were some extra figures and extra graphics that accounted for some of that 22 pages, and there were also some additional narrative added to address public comments we had received. But we're unable to ascertain what the source of this 150 extra pages.
So the original approximately 178 pages, was that all part of the discussion during the workshops with these folks?
The last workshop we had on that was in August 2009, and we did at that workshop, we did present an updated summary of the project status that was post-scientific peer review, if you will. So that was the last stakeholder meeting we had.
How many pages did the project document have at that time?
In August?
Yeah.
It was not web posted in August because we were still revising it in accordance with scientific peer review. So just so you understand, it wasn't publicly web posted in August. But I would say in August, it was give or take 170 pages, 160 pages.
So in August you had a draft of 178 pages approximately?
You said about 160. Or
160.
Yeah, plus or minus. I mean, there was tweaks to it post-scientific peer review. But the draft that we prepared post-scientific peer review, as Chris can attest because he reviewed it, was substantially enlarged post-scientific peer review to address the scientific peer reviewer's comments. So once we had that August 2009 meeting and we were in the process of finalizing our post-scientific peer review comments, it was on the order of, 160, 180 pages, something like that.
Also, if I might, in all fairness to the people who are commenting here, we had the formal public review period, which began in December and then ended in January for 45 days. And what is new that is posted or that is part of this agenda package is, of course, our response to public comments because, of course, we don't have the public comments during the public comment period. So we have the public comment period, and then Pete listed all of the comments, and then, of course, we respond to those comments. So that is a separate attachment to the staff report, our response to their comments. So that is also new. But, of course, if they wanted to review those comments, that's all they would have to do is open up that attachment. I believe it's attachment six. And they could literally do a word search for their name and see how we responded to their comment.
Mrs. Din, do you know what the extra pages, where do you – have you printed this out? And are they sitting somewhere where you're
about
to go?
Well, here's what
through?
We did. We printed out the original and we have about 150 pages. So maybe maybe it's 160, but that's what I have in my stack. I wish I brought my stack. I'm really sorry I didn't. But then we made comments, and the stakeholders did. And then the staff took it back until March 4th, and then during that period of time, which real important is what Aaron addressed, the document was off the website. So we couldn't go back and review and make sure we had printed everything. So I took what I printed and then tried to compare it. And it's not just their response to comments, because we need to take their responses plus what we had on the original pages that we printed in December and compare it to the new pages. It's more than a word search for just the name of my clients. It's a really holistic approach of all of the comments. Did they make comment changes within the document different than my marked up 150-page comments from our meetings? And in fairness, the staff had from January, the end of January, until March 4th to totally review our comments and make comment changes back. And then we got it online and had 5 days to read Exhibit 6, try to compare it to our marked up copy, try to compare it to this, and then and respond by your board's request on the top of your agenda that says, please comply by the day prior to for this to be in the packet to for staff to have time to respond, which they did. But so here we are today with not having the original document other than my copy, and maybe I missed some pages on that. I'll take responsibility if there were 160 and I only have 150. But it's if you take all the comments and the peer review and stuff, it's almost 300 pages. I don't know where they're counting, and maybe I'm counting wrong, but I'm just saying that that's a tremendous burden to try to get a bunch of cattlemen together in 4 days
You're looking at all the appendices and all the attachments.
To get them together to go back and forth.
Yeah, and I think what staff is basically saying is the project report itself
has not that's why
that
we're,
much.
Well, then Chairman Young, that makes me very sad that we provided all these comments and they didn't change anything that would even cause me as a public member greater distress. That why are you asking us to comment? Why are you asking us to bring expertise? And why substantively didn't you take into our comments other than to, you know, why is this process that you didn't make changes, but you'll be happy to comment to our comments? Why isn't that incorporated in a healthy project? I will just tell you, as a member of the public, that really distresses me. And if that's just, that's why I said it appeared to me that this looked like a regulatory approach instead of a solution to water quality.
Can I respond to that really quickly, Mr.
Sure.
Chairman?
Sure,
Ms. Stan, thank you for your comment. And I would say that the extra 25 pages or so, 28 pages, that were included after public comment as a result of public comment are part of our response to your comments, okay, as well as, of course, the 68-page or 80-page response to public comments, okay, that you had available. And in addition to that, of course, we had a public workshop in August 2009, and that document, between the time that we got it back from scientific peer review and after we received comments, you know, on these documents throughout the years now,
right.
Okay, this document has grown in size.
I know it has.
And not just the last month, but over the years. And
that's why I respectfully believe staff did read our comments. So in candor, 4 days for me to get all my clients and producers in a room to take the new documents, make sure that we understand what you've addressed so that we can say that this is a good process. And it was impossible with their rangeland managers, and I don't know if you've been paying attention, but we've had rain and sun and rain. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now. So to get them in a room, I took it – what I was asked to do by my clients was to make the comment to you that this is a change. We really need to read it. We want to be proactive. And my assumption is staff did read the comments, and we just hadn't – 4 days was not sufficient to see what those comment changes were. And I'm not saying they did – I mean, so I'm just telling you, I'm distressed that if they didn't. So I'm really pleased that Chris Rose said there are changes. So we're asking you time that we can review that to see what changes that they did made according to what we commented.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Go ahead.
I think that we're very sensitized to the issue of the timing, and I certainly know what motion I would like to make, but I would kind of like to move on from the point of timing and see what the other speakers have to say, because there may be some other critical points that the board needs to hear.
Right. Mr. Jeffries.
Well, I'm a little confused in what she was trying to put across, and I was just going to try to put it in my own words to see if I could straighten it out in my own mind, is that you submitted comments and asked for certain changes on certain parts of the TMDL. you were unable to match those changes, if there were changes, to the original document because the document was taken off the internet. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
One of the issues is I only had my hard copy that I had written all over because the original document was off. So, again, I took my hard copy that I printed from the December.
I got that.
Okay, and then the new document, there are some things that I'm not positive on, and that we didn't have enough time to really digest. More importantly,
let
the
me
producers.
Ask you a question then. Were you able to correlate the responses and the changes that the staff indicated they were going to make from the new document to the old document?
Not all of them, and I can only Mr. Jeffries, say that in those 4 days and what's going on in the ag waiver and everything else, not that that's relevant.
Okay.
But to try to get us there, no, I didn't finish.
I understand that.
I apologize.
I understand. Thank you.
4 days was short.
Can I make a point on the record?
Sure.
The electronic TMDL project documents were removed from the public comment web page after the public comment period was over. We moved them to our TMDL project webpage. So they were on the website, but we had moved them after the public comment period expired. We moved them to the TMDL project webpage. So they were on the website. And anybody calls me and asks me for copies, I'm always more than happy to provide electronic copies or PDFs or whatever.
Or just direct them to the website.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Kay Mercer.
Hello, I'm Kay Mercer, and thank you for allowing me to come before you. I won't belabor the issue of time except to say that in the 4 days that we had to review the document, it was really 5 days, but it came to about four, almost five business days, I could not compare the old document to the new document in that period of time to determine what changes had been incorporated. I mean, staff may say that they didn't make any changes, but how am I supposed to know that? You know, there were no indications of what changes had been made. The only way to ascertain that is to compare the two documents. So you have, and this is what we were asked to review in 4 days. And this is minus attachment 6, which somehow fell out of my document.
Can we stop the clock for a second? We get this point.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And if you want to use your 3 minutes
to beat that dead horse, go ahead. Move forward. Thank you.
But I'm sure you have other more interesting
things
to talk about.
I do have other things to say. I do want to express concern on the peer review. Staff has said that they had two peer reviewers, but their staff report only comments on one peer reviewer. And the peer reviewer was an author on many of their citations. So I would like to also encourage staff to look at UC Davis professionals who are working on pathogen loading for the grazing community. And Darlene named them. They're Rob Atwell, Ken Tate, Dave Lewis, Rob Mandrell. They're not referenced. They are not discussed in this document. I also would like to talk about economics. And I did comment in my first letter about lumping rural residential and commercial grazing together. They are nothing alike, and the implementation plan has to be different. Here's some examples of questions that have to be addressed for the rural residential property. How do you identify the rural residential properties? How are you going to communicate with them? How realistic is it to expect the rural residential properties to monitor as a group, as individuals? How realistic is it to expect them to create implementation plans? These are rural residential property owners. Can the regional board staff actually regulate this group? What compliance plan can be put into place for this group? So I can go on with many questions relative to rural residential properties. Your implementation plans have to be different for commercial grazing and rural residential properties. The other thing is in terms of economics, one of the options that's being provided to the cattlemen is to do some kind of group, sort of like the ag waiver is done. But the economic considerations that are addressed by staff, you know, they made a lot of assumptions in how they calculated load, But when it came time to make some assumptions how to calculate economics, they sort of backed off and said, well, there's too many assumptions. We can't do that. So anyway, they need to make an assessment of how much it's going to cost this community to do some sort of a group approach, because that's really what they'll end up having to do. And you have to have staff, you have to pay for monitoring, you have to pay someone to report, and that was not included in this. So I guess that's it.
Any questions for Ms. Mercer? Okay, thank you very much. The next speaker looks like Ryan Morris, if I'm not wrong, and then there's a Joe Morris and Terry Bengard.